Good evening, everybody. My name's Leanne, and I'm an alcoholic.
Leanne.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Simple Actions meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. For those of you who care, please join us with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
I'd like to welcome everyone. This is a meeting, the room that we normally don't meet in. Normally we're down the hall in the sanctuary or the fellowship hall. And we don't have microphones tonight either, so if you have a problem hearing, just kind of raise your hand and we'll know we need to speak up.
What?
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all of those in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use the restrooms and this room exclusively. The restrooms from this room are right out the hall down to the right. There's a women and a men's restroom right here at the end of this hall that we've been given the okay to use this evening. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will help keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10. I'll read the first paragraph and then the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the readings. And tonight, we have Buster and Debbie. And they're going to be sharing with us this evening. Tonight we're going to start on page 84. It's step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So on page 84, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And we're going to start with Buster tonight.
Thank you, Leanne. My name's Buster Hawkins, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Buster.
Had my last drink April 19th, 1992, sitting on the toilet in the bathroom of my mother's house. All the Miller High Life was gone. All the Smirnoff was gone. All the Wild Irish Rose was gone. All I had was what was left in a bottle of NyQuil. And I drank that NyQuil because I wanted that alcohol and that cold medicine to do for me what all that beer, liquor, and wine had done for me in the past, and that's to make me think different. Think different about what was going on. Think different about me. Think different about you. Because I'm selfish and I'm self-centered. I'm an alcoholic. And how I feel about me and how I think about you and how I think about what's going on in the world is the most important thing to me, because I am selfish and self-centered. My home group is the Suffolk Discussion Meeting. We meet at 8 o'clock Friday nights in Suffolk at St. Paul's Episcopal Church Fellowship Hall. It's an open discussion meeting, and we do our best to carry the fifth tradition, to practice the fifth tradition, and carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. We get people who come there who know they have a problem, know what the deal is, and looking for a solution. We got people that come who don't have a clue, just mm-hmm. confused, bewildered, hurting, hopeless, and we do our best to help them find a solution that we had found in the plan program of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. We get people from the court system. We get people from Western Tidewater Community Services. We get people who have not only alcohol problems but other problems, and we help them to understand that you don't start recovery on a lie. You know, you got to know what you are and where the solution is. So, and I'm grateful for that home group. That group helped me to understand alcoholism, understand how the steps and good sponsorship and the hope that's in these rooms can be obtained and also given back, and I'm truly grateful for that. And while I'm talking about that, our group's 46th anniversary is coming up October 24th this month, and as I we're gonna have two speakers, one AA speaker, Jim W. from over in Chesapeake, and there will be an Al-Anon speaker too, and we're gonna have starting at 6:30 good eating, good fried chicken, good country ham, and all the other stuff that goes with it. So please come by. We're going to have a good time. We always do. I like to qualify myself, too. You know, I know that I'm an alcoholic, and I know that I'm sober by the grace of a loving God, and I know that I stay sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to be a part of this deal and trying to do what's suggested and what's asked of me, such as be here tonight to share with you what little bit I have about Step 10. And what this program and what Step 10 means to me, and how I've used it in my recovery from alcoholism, how I still do. And when I think about Step 10, I think about I'm on the Oceanfront Conference Committee, and when I first was asked to be on the committee, my first conference as a committee member, my job was to chair a meeting. The Sunday morning meeting, and we had brought in a guy by the name of Joe F. From Simpsonville, South Carolina. And Joe was in recovery, a businessman, a very successful businessman from Simpsonville, South Carolina, who about lost his business because of the disease of alcoholism. And he got into Alcoholics Anonymous was in recovery, and was also giving back. He was there. He gave a wonderful message, and I remember from Joe helped me to understand the 10th step. You know, I was the chairman for that meeting on Sunday morning, but also his host for the weekend. And Joe shared with me about the 10th step. He talked about the 10th step, and Joe talked to me about the 10th step was a walking around step. You know, that he's like I do. You know, if I do something, if I need to make amends, and I need to do it right away, you know, promptly, made amends promptly for some people might mean a month. Me, I can't do that. I'm like my friend Tim over at in Suffolk, who says he likes to eat crow warm, you know. I don't want it to get cold and stale, and I understand that, because I've done something. I have a gnawing. I have a conscience today, Alcoholics Anonymous, and working these steps and being around you lovely people and you wonderful people who also in the plan program of recovery like I am have given me a conscience, you know, and I'm aware of that. And I want to treat people, as Tim says, like I want to be treated, you know, and to understand. And that love and tolerance is our code. The last part of that is a very big thing for me today, you know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, the 10th step, you know, the first three steps, get the alcohol out of the way, get me out of the way, and put God in my life, and then the next four, five, six, and seven, God allows me to get all right with me and look at what had been blocking me from the sunlight of the Spirit. And then in steps eight and nine, I'm able to get all right with them. Those had been in my life that I had harmed, and I need to make things right with them. Not just apologize, but make right. Understand that amends means to make right, you know. And my first sponsor told me that sorry was a sorry's word in the English language, and that I needed to, and I wore that out when I was drinking too. And I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that, I'm not going to do this anymore, that kind of thing. But I understand how to make amends, you know, and how to do it and do it properly. Also, the big thing too that Leanne read, once I do, you know, and making the amends, if I've done something, I need to make amends right away for me, because I don't need it. I don't need to carry it around with me. I just can't do it. But it says, then when we do that, we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And that's big in Alcoholics Anonymous for me. Whatever's going on, if I'm in a dilemma as to what I need to do, automatically I think, what can I do for somebody else? And I can get on the phone, or I can go try to help somebody else to deal with what they're dealing with, and it takes me away from what I need. You know, I don't need to dwell on me. You know, that's all I got for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
My sobriety date's October 24th, 1982, and Simple Actions is my home group, and we're composed of people like you. And we do carry that primary purpose of helping that still suffering alcoholic. When I heard that Buster was going to be my co-panelist, I'm thinking, oh good, the before and after, that you get to see the whole picture. Because this step 10, you know, when he was talking about the selfishness and self-centeredness, which I am a star pupil of, and what this step is about is self-examination, and that's the last thing I want to do. And it's just a little confusing up there, because I am so self-centered. But you know, as he was just saying, the first nine steps before this are kind of dealing with my past and what got me here and lack of power, and I've got to come up with this power that's going to help me solve my problem, or he's going to solve my problem. And that was not a real quick thing for me. And then four and five I did with the sponsor. Six and seven I can still battle today, because I know that it's not me that does it, and I have a plan, and I have a timeline, and we're not on it, and let's go. Eight, nine are where I got my freedom. Five, I didn't. You hear a lot of people get that freedom in five. I got relief in five to say, it's done. I can go to a meeting now and say it's done. But I got a lot of relief after nine, and so then I've heard these steps called growth steps, 10, 11, and 12, maintenance steps. To me, it's just how I continue to grow, because I do have to examine my life, they say, on a daily basis. And so the before and after, I still kind of hold on to those things sometimes when I'm selfish, dishonest, resentful, or afraid. And I don't know why that is. I just know that if I go too soon to say this is my behavior and this is, I just can't evaluate it this quick. I still pretty much run things by my sponsor of, this is the way it looks like to me, you know, because I start off pissed and I have to end up over there in column four. And she gets me to column four, and that takes some time. And mainly I do that at work, not so much with my husband. I can say, hey, I was really off base. But at work, when there's a lot of personalities going on, I have to be real clear, because I have to go sit by that girl again the next day. And know this was where I was wrong, and I was wrong. And that was unbelievable to even say, because I was never wrong and I certainly was never sorry. And so for you to tell me that's what I have to learn in this step, my sponsor had the good sense to say, now when you make the amends this time just say, you know, I'm a human being and I'm trying my best here after we've talked about what happened, and I am going to try to not do that again. But I love this, where it talks about this is not an overnight matter. I mean, I've been coming in these rooms a long time, and I can still fight it. I can definitely still fight it. But the wonderful thing for me right now of what's going on is we have entered the world of the Spirit. I think that this step, 10 and 11, really lets you grow and seek and find, and it's not such a cookie cutter answer of columns 1 through 4. It's just kind of an area where you can really expand, and it's never ending. And that started out looking like me, as I had a whole lot of books, a whole lot of books, a whole lot of books. And nothing wrong with that at all, because at least I was open-minded enough to read the books and to have some willingness to let that door of this closed mind, this prejudiced closed mind about anything spiritual, open up a little bit. And that is where I continue to grow, is to say, I don't know who God is, but I know I'm not it, which is what they told me when I first walked in. And so just to have that prejudice fall away, to say, okay, maybe I'm wrong about that. What does this concept mean to me? You let me make my own God, let me figure out these own concepts too, and let that prejudice aside. You know, it's a pretty cookie-cutter thing about what we're supposed to do with it, the 4 steps of an amends or whatever, but for me, the love and tolerance of others is our code. You know, and I started out thinking, I'll just be perfect. Then I won't have to make an amends. I'm just going to start out. I'm going to be good Debbie at work. I'm just going to... And when they say that about the golden rule to doing to others, I just want you to leave me the hell alone. And so that doesn't work for me, you know. And so I had to learn that they want me to participate at work, you know. And I don't want to. And so, you know, and that's what I've learned. It's really not about what I want, you know. And one thing I've heard, you know, people that know me know I've always got CD tapes in my car, AACD tapes. And one thing I heard recently was about how we learn to pray in AA. There's like 3 kinds of prayers, and I may mess it up, but it was like, help me, and that's what they taught me at the beginning. Help me, God, I'm an alcoholic. Help me not take first drink. And then I think it was give me, you know, like give me the strength to do these steps, and then it's use me. And that's what this spiritual world is about, you know, when I trust him enough to say, use me today how you see fit, and let me just set aside what my plan is for the day. Thanks.
Thanks, Debbie. Okay, we're going to continue on page 84, down at the bottom. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
Buster Hawkins, alcoholic. I just want to comment on something that Debbie said. I agree. I when I got in here and I got to feeling good, and I was involved in Alcoholics Anonymous and working the steps and had a sponsor and home group and all, I wanted to do this stuff perfect. You know, I had to do it perfect. I had to be right. You know, and thank God Bill understood. He said we must adhere reasonably well, and that none of us are going to be saints by next Thursday. And he talked about progress, not perfection. And I would get upset with myself when I felt like I fell short, you know, that I was not being a good AA. I wasn't doing it the way it should be done, you know. And I would really get down on myself. And my dear friend Wallace H., who got sober in Meridian, Mississippi, and I talk about him often because he helped get me into the big book and stay in the big book and learn the big book and understand the big book. And my sponsor sponsored him, so I got double teamed. and I'm grateful for that. But Wallace took, I had something come up, and I felt like I really fell short. I went and talked to Wallace, and Wallace said, Buster, don't ever get the attitude, if you can't be the best, you must be the worst. And that has stuck with me. And that it this is not an overnight matter. It's a long, it's not a destination, it's a journey. My friend Steve talks about, under the conditions of the day, we do what we need to do under the conditions of the day. And some days, all days are good, don't get me wrong. All days are good, I don't care how difficult they are, they're good. You know, and because I'm not drinking alcohol. And I'm not running family away, and I'm not doing those kind of things that hurt people today. and because of my drinking. You know, I can still get self-centered and do some things that might not be appropriate for other people, but I try not to with y'all's help and the steps. You know, and I'm grateful for this, the 10th step and being able to use it, but, you know, adhere reasonably well and do the best I can with it today. And no, and I have a sponsor I talk to, and I've got some other people in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that I talk to on a regular basis that help me to understand. And yeah, my dear friend Steve, I'll mention him again. I can't tell you the number of times that he's told me, "Buster, let it go," and that's all he got. Let it go, because I can wear something out up here because I want to be right with it. You know, I want to do this thing right. And what Leanne just read, and you know, I don't put people on pedestals in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I do have a lot of heroes. And the guy that I mentioned earlier, Joe F. from Simpsonville, South Carolina, very peaceful man, and I understood after that weekend why he was so peaceful. One of our duties was to go to the airport and pick him up and take him back to the hotel. And Tim and I rode over to the airport, and we were standing by where they got off the plane. And I saw this guy walking down the area where they were unloading the plane. He looked at me, I looked at him, and I knew that was Joe, and he knew I was there to pick him up. Yeah, it was just really, really weird. And he came up to me, and I said, "Are you Joe?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm Buster, and this is Tim, and we're going to take you back to the hotel, and I'll be your host for the weekend, and I'll also be the chairman for your meeting." And Joe, he had this look on his face, this peaceful look on his face, and it was so soft-spoken and kind. And it was just a joy to be with him. And that whole weekend, he, like I said, he talked about the 10th step and how important it was to him. And he talked about how his sponsor gave him a notebook to carry around when he first came to Alcoholics Anonymous so that he could do his 10th step immediately. If something happened, he needed to write it down. And he would carry it around and write it down and then talk to his sponsor about it. But, you know, to do these things promptly and... Leanne read what he interpreted for me as the 10th step promise. Mm-hmm. It says, "And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned." You know, and I come to find out later this, you know, we say in step two, when we read step two, it says, "Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity." And then when we get to step 10, it says, "By this time sanity will have returned." So it's what I do between step two and step 10 that it comes together. You know, I get all right with God, I get all right with me, I get all right with them, and then sanity returns. Sanity for me is making decisions based on the truth. Insanity for me was making decisions based on a lie. You know, and the biggest lie I would tell myself, "I'm only going to drink one." And the second big lie was, "It ain't going to be as bad this time." And the third big lie was, "It won't my fault." And I'm grateful for that. You know, it's... And thank God, you know, that this is something that we do on a daily basis. I too, like I said before, I like to eat crow when it's warm and not when it's cold. And also, I got to be mindful of the fact, too, that I want to do it so well that sometimes I need to talk to somebody about what I've done or what I feel like I've done, because what I feel like I've done might not be what they see I've done, you know. And, and rely on hearing it come out of my mouth to talk to somebody else about it and have them reply to me. While it's rolling around up here, when it comes out, it might be a whole lot different. So thank you.
Thanks, Buster.
Yeah, I love this line. "And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol." And for me, I had to cease fight AA. Because when I got here, I did not belong here. I was too young, too smart, and too pretty. This was all a misunderstanding. It's going to be different, and, you know, and I'm not a first-nighter, and so I had a judge that was a recovering alcoholic, thought it was a real good idea that I continue to go to AA for 18 months. And so during those 18 months, whether I was drunk or sober, I was going to 3 AA meetings a week. And this stuff gets on you, you know, and it messes up your drinking if you're an alcoholic. Probably if you're not an alcoholic, you wouldn't be coming to the meeting drunk for one thing. But, you know, I just don't think we end up here by mistake. It's today, but I certainly thought it was a mistake at the beginning. And there was like three different avenues of people coming. You know, the judge got me here, a lady I worked with gave me your big book, another lady took me a meeting, and I'm thinking, what is all of this about? I don't have a drinking problem. I just like to drink, you know. And so for me to cease fighting, even today, is tough. I like to fight. I like to win. I like to be right. I will die doing it if I have to, and until I'm bloody and beaten enough to say, I give up. And that's what I do with this program. Okay, God, it's yours. A lot of stuff still has claw marks on it before I turn it over. But I know that there's something to turn it over to today, you know. And they've told me that from the beginning. You have the God-given right to be as miserable as you want for as long as you want. And when you hurt bad enough, you'll do something about it. And so, and what that is these steps, you know, and saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? And you know, in the 12 and 12, the first time I read that, it's a spiritual axiom. However that goes, when I am disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something the matter with me. How could that be? Because obviously it was their fault. And I really know that today and what that means. What the key word in there for me today is when I am disturbed. When I am doing God's will for me, I am not disturbed. I am not distracted. I am not fighting. God's will is not resistant to me. And I heard that a long time ago. It's just that flow that you hear about and things are good. And then when Debbie gets rattling around up here about what's fair and what's right and why do I have to do more charts than she does and she's lazy, I'm going to be a slug. And I went to work the other day and said, I'm just going to be a stay because that's what I wanted to be. I don't want to be the one that has to lead the way, as this book tells me. It tells me in the step before this, I have to be the one to lead the way. I don't always like that, but that's the instructions. So it is a spiritual axiom, always. That means it's always that way, that there's something wrong with me. And what I love about this is that it just comes, you know, this whole thing about not wanting to drink, and that is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. So what they've told me is that it's a gift. Sobriety is a gift, and it happens in the present moment. And I don't know if this is appropriate to share, but I'm not always appropriate. So Saturday night, we went up to Yorktown. It was a blast. And we went and had dinner. There's 27 people eating. A lot of people left. But there was eight of us that really liked the band that was playing in the bar. I had the best time, you know, and I'm thinking in my head I'm going to be on YouTube as the 60-year-old that's up there dancing to the reggae band in the bar, because there's the 20-year-old, the 40-year-old, the 60-year-old, and it was just awesome. And so somebody had gone up to the bar to get a water, and I had to go get to the bar, and I am this paragraph. I have no clue that there's even alcohol in there, except that the two people that were dancing were kind of drunk, and I even said, this is really kind of a candy-ass bar. this is not the kind of place that, I like the action, you know, but the point is, I was not tempted, and I even said to her, I feel very safe here, you know, I'm with eight people, I mean, that's a gift, that is such a gift, you know, to be able to go into any place and enjoy it, and the young person said, I didn't think I could do that and have fun. We're not about, oh my God, I'm not drinking today. That's what I'm doing, I'm not drinking. Damn it, you know. And so like I said, I don't know if this is the appropriate place to do it, but it was a fun night, and you missed it if you weren't there. Thanks.
All right, we've got some time. We're gonna go on to page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
You know, above that, the last thing you read before this, it says that is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And I've learned to do certain things in sobriety from the beginning. Tom got some things straight with me as what I needed to do as far as meetings and what I, how I start my day, how I end my day, and what I do as far as service and trying to help another alcoholic. And as long as I do these things and I stay close to a power greater than me and around you people, because I can start slipping off the beam, particularly if I miss a few meetings. And if I get back in here, y'all help me get back to where I need to be, you know, by sharing. And there's something magical that I want to, that's a poor word for it, but it's something that happens in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that does something for me. And when I'm around you people, I know my friend Arthur over in Suffolk always talks about coming to Alcoholics Anonymous and to a meeting and leaving feeling much better than he did when he came in, regardless of how he felt. And I understand that. And my first sponsor used to call Alcoholics Anonymous an island of sanity in a world going mad. Mm-hmm. And I identify with that because I can come in here, regardless of what kind of day I have, y'all help me stay spiritually fit. You know, because y'all are trying to do the same thing that I'm trying to do, and that is to stay sober one day at a time, to seek to do God's will, and to help somebody find the hope that we found in here. And I'm grateful for that. And as long as I stay around you know, and do the things that I've learned, I can stay in that spiritual condition. Not let up on the spiritual program, which I was talking about. And that will not mine be done. I use it all the time. You know, it slows my brain long enough to keep my mouth from going in gear. And I'm grateful for that, you know. And the shortest prayer that I've ever said in my life is, God, help me. And I get, and real quick, when something's going awry, I can say either thy will not mine be done or God help me, and things start to ease off. You know, and I'm grateful for that kind of understanding that y'all have brought me to. Also, too, I, you know, the 10th step, you know, made amends. It probably made amends. I've got to say this, you know, thank God we don't have to make amends for what we think. You know, because I would be in a mess, you know, because, you know, I'm like Father Warner, Father Martin, excuse me. Who used to say that he wouldn't want anybody to see his thoughts in a 24-hour day. And I'm the same way, you know. And don't get me wrong, I try not to think evil, bad thoughts, but sometimes, you know, I'm in front of an irate customer and my mind's thinking about when will she shut up, you know, and will she please shut up, and then let me escort her out the door. That, you know, that kind and loving and love and tolerance gets tested sometimes. But, you know, thank God we don't make amends for what we think. And I'm working on that, too. You know, I'm trying to have that 11th step when it says, have I been kind and loving toward all? Maybe outwardly, but sometimes inwardly in my thoughts, I need some work. So I'm grateful for that. Also, Dr. Bob, you know, my selfish and self-centeredness, too. That spiritual pride is part of that deal too. Sometimes I might not think that people are doing it the way I'm doing it, so they're not doing it right. And I know I'm probably the only one here feels that way. and I've got to remember, you know. And Dr. Bob talked about that. He said the fitting or wearing of halos is not for us, you know. And that the perfect antidote for halo poisoning is step 4. And step 10. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yeah. Yeah, this little 12 and 12 book, that's also where the line about restraint of tongue and pen comes in, is in step 10. That took me years to get. And usually when I have a flare-up, that's what it's the tongue. Also has in there about pain being the touchstone of spiritual growth, and unfortunately that is still the truth for me. You know, when I'm having a good day, everything's great, I'm not really looking for any way to grow. I don't want it to change. I want it to stay exactly like it is. And it's when I have that disturbance or that distraction, you know, I'm distracted by shiny things and I want to do it my way now, that's when I start getting that pain. And I do like that thing, that line about, am I in fit spiritual condition? Because he says it twice, and Bill did not like repeating himself with the same words. He repeats himself all through the book, but he uses the same words about fit spiritual condition. And I can share on this resting on our laurels. you know, because we do focus so much on our primary purpose and the newcomers, and like I said, I've been around for a while, and I got to a point that I just kind of drifted away. And it wasn't a, oh, I'm not going to go to AA anymore kind of thing. I got distracted, and I got didn't really get disturbed. I got distracted. There was a lot of things going on with people in my life, and obviously they needed me to run their life, and I was very busy. I was just very busy. And so, things just started dropping away as far as meetings and commitments and service work, and so I got all back into Debbie running the show. And so it is very easy to let up on this spiritual program of action. And so what I have to do is get into that pattern of what do I do every day. I get down on my knees and pray in the morning, and I pray at night. And I have the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer in my life. I've had the St. Francis prayer on and off. I always have something that I'm reading in the morning, and I've gone back to the St. Francis prayer in the morning. So I have to have that spiritual development. I can't just stay stagnant. I have to keep growing to maintain the spiritual condition. Every day is when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. I do turn it into me when I'm reading it. I think as a room that we are we and all, but I know that they're talking about me. And so what does that look like? God's vision in my life. And I have a visual in my head of what a spiritual Debbie should look like. And I don't think it's God's vision of Debbie being spiritual at all. And I've heard it said, you know, that if you look at somebody and you ask the person how they're doing when they're going through some spiritual difficulty, and the person in the pain is going to say, I'm not doing so good. I'm in a lot of pain. It's all about me. I'm in pain. But if you ask that person's sponsor how they're doing, they'll say, she's fine. She's going to meetings. She's sponsoring people. She's saying her prayers. She's doing her service work. She's going to be okay. And that's what I have to concentrate on, because I really, you know, I still run the show, obviously, if you're getting the drift there. And I think that I'm supposed to have this spiritual thing down by now. I should know what the hell I'm doing by now. And some days I do. Some days I do, and it feels good. And that's the other thing I've learned in here. I have a hole in my spiritual bucket that I get these spiritual things, because I've had some awesome spiritual experiences. Awesome. And as soon as I grab for it, gone. As soon as I try and remember it, gone. So I do start writing real quick as soon as it happens. So I have a book that I keep those things in. So I have to do it every day, because that bucket just has a hole in it. I can't keep God from yesterday today. I have a new idea and a new way of living every day. It may look a lot alike every day, but it has to be fresh and alive and in my life, going to work with me, you know, doing what I'm doing throughout the day. Because otherwise, it just seems like, oh, this day's okay. I can probably make this decision, and then this decision, and then this decision, and then I'm mad at you because you're not doing what I want, you know, because I can do it that quick. I can get off the spiritual beam in a day, in an hour, in a moment. You don't do what I want, and it's just the stars are lined up, and I'm right back into where I need to just start over and say, okay, God, it's yours. I give up. I cease fighting, you know. And luckily, he never says, no, you've had your 10 tries today, Debbie, you're out now. You know, we'll start again tomorrow, you're on your own. He has never said you're on your own, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Because I know that it works. It's just when I'm willing to say, okay, how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. Because sometimes what that looks like, I don't want to do it. I have a lot of that. I don't want to do that, God. And he does not care. He does not change his mind and say, okay, we'll do it your way, Debbie. Now he'll let me do it my way, but he doesn't change his mind. And so I'll just say, all right, then give me the strength to do it, because I can't do it on my own. Thanks.
Can you comment? Yeah. Yeah, I was just listening to Debbie, and I've got certain things I do. As soon as my eyes open up in the morning, I thank God for letting me be alive and sober and in AA and in recovery. And then I roll out of bed and sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies, and I get on my knees, snap, crackle, and pop, and I get on my knees, and then I thank you for my family. I thank you for my family's good health and my good health, and I go on to thank you for so many other things, you know, and some other prayers that a lot of us use. You know, the third and the seventh step prayer and some other prayers that I use. And And then I get up and I go to the bathroom, and over the toilet is Dr. Bob's humility prayer about humility being perpetual quietness of heart, to have no trouble, never to be irritable, angry. And I stop right there because I, you know, I got a lot to work on. There may be some guys in here may have an aging prostate. And so I get up during the night 6 or 7 times, and that thing is sitting in front of me over the toilet. So, and then I've got some other prayers that I look at going out of the bathroom that I put in there. This helps me stay focused, you know, on what I need to be focused on, you know. And I, you know, seeking God's will, you know, I'm like you. I might ask for God's will. In the back of my mind, I got plan A, plan B, and plan C, and he's in charge. And I don't know what God's will is for me. I know what it's not, I believe part of God's will for me. I mean, He loves me, and I believe part of His will for me is to love you and to do what I can to help anybody. And which reminds me of Dr. Martin B. He was a speaker I heard several years ago, and Dr. Martin B. said, "God's will for me is my will for me if I just had all the facts." You know, I would know, but I don't know. I can't see around the corner. He can, but that's why faith is so important. And I come in here and I listen to you people, and I hear how you have the faith that this is going to work for you, that this is going to be that what you do on a daily basis is going to help you deal with life, you know, regardless of what it is. And as I listen to you and I see your faith, it strengthens my faith that this thing works. You know, this thing really works. And thy will, not mine, be done. I will wear it out. You know, and, you know, you were talking about Paul's when agitated or in doubt, you know, and I'm sitting there in front of somebody, I've learned to pause. And like I said earlier, you know, thy will not mine be done is long enough up here to slows my brain down long enough to keep my mouth going in gear. And I'm grateful for that, you know, and thank you.
Are we going to read this other paragraph?
Page 85.
Don't we read the last paragraph?
This one right here.
Okay. Thank you, Lester. We're on the bottom of page 85. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
That God-conscious comment there, that reminds me, I was in a meeting early on in sobriety, and Tim had come in about a year and a half before I did, and he talked about that God-consciousness, and he went to his sponsor, who was Wallace, and said, "Wallace, I find myself always thinking about God, and I'm going crazy." And he said, "No, Tim, what is happening is that you're developing this God consciousness, you know. And the things that happen, that sense the flow of His Spirit into us, you know. I've been talking to people. It might be some kind of problem that we're trying to deal with either somebody I'm trying to help or what I'm trying to deal with in my life." And we'll do what we're supposed to do, pray, and talk about and ask God for His guidance and direction. And there's a certain amount of peace that'll come. You know, I'm not going to say it comes every time. But if I do it, I've actually been talking to somebody that I sponsor, and all of a sudden he felt it like I did. It was like a warmth, you know, and you believe it if you want to, but I know it happened to me. Mm-hmm. So this stuff really works, and as long as I put God in front, you know, and sponsoring people too. You know, we talk about the ABCs, you know, that no human power can relieve alcoholism. God could and would if He was salt. So when I sponsor people, I understand where I am with that, you know, that He's in charge and I'm not, because sometimes my ego can get out in the way, and I want them to do it the way I want them to do it, you know. But it's their life and their journey. And, you know, the steps are the same. People are different, you know. And that's where I ask God, always ask God, that His will be done. Anytime I'm working with somebody, I ask for His will to be done. Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't do my homework, so we might not supposed to read this paragraph, but we're all good. So Anyway, this is an inside job. We've all heard that. And what that looks like in my life is I want to be a spiritual thief. Like, I would love Buster's spirituality. Just let's have it, you know, let's do it. And that's what I want. I want it to be easier, softer way. I don't want it to look like work or effort or time or commitment or a relationship is what it was told to me. I need to have a relationship with this higher power that I'm turning my life over to. And that requires time and commitment and put it in my day that, oh, well, if I have time, I'll do that. So that's this inside job. And that has been very rewarding because we all have, that's what I'm talking about where it's so individual. We all have to have that spiritual experience to believe this stuff. Like he said, that warm feeling, whatever that feeling is, because I've been that rocketed into the fourth dimension. I've had some of that stuff happen, and it'll happen to anybody. But it's like I was saying, if I grab it, it's gone. So it's just a moment in the now, right here, right now, is where God is. It says it right there in How It Works. May you find him now. This is where he is, and that's where I tend to not be, as I'm in the past or in the future. So I have to make that commitment to try and form this relationship with him. One thing I want to share, and I meant to share it on the other paragraph, when I was on my sabbatical from AA, I did not think about drinking, and I know that's a scary thought for a lot of people that have heard a lot of things like meeting makers make it or whatever the hell that saying is. I know a lot of people that are sober that don't go to AA. Shoot me now. But anyway, I do. And so what had happened to me is in my head, I kept hearing, you got to go back to AA. You got to go back to AA. You got to go back to AA. Until I eventually went back to AA. And what I know today from that, because it's 4 years later now, is that what was missing in my life was that primary purpose of helping somebody else. Now, if you had asked me that, I would have said, no, that's not it. I'm just hurting. I know I need to get back into the groove here or whatever. My life has just been lit on fire from a few newcomers that I have allowed into my life, you know. And I can't, that's the spiritual thief thing. I can't give that to you or explain that to you until you do it and experience it. It is beyond my wildest dreams, which I always thought beyond my wildest dreams was going to be something that I'm getting. You're going to be giving me money, a better job, a better house, a better car. That's beyond my wildest dreams. These relationships are beyond my wildest dreams. I spent time with, I know that Buster is connected with Tom Hearn. I spent time with a sponsor. She sponsored me when I moved here. She sponsored me for about 14 years and moved to Maine, and I spent the day with her, and her and Tom were friends. Anyway, she's out in Smithfield. And so I've not only had these newcomers in my life, but I have these relationships of 20 and 30 years with women that have sponsored me. It's just beyond my wildest dreams. I just can't even put it into words how that happened in this life. This is somebody who hated women, had nothing to do with them, didn't trust them, had a guy first sponsor because this is just not right, you know, this woman to helping women thing. And so, so I just urge you, I don't care if you're sober 2 days, if there's somebody here with 1 day, I just urge you to reach out and pass this message on because it's just how it works. That's what was missing in those years that I was gone. I was not being a service to anybody but Debbie. Now, I would have told you, yeah, I'm helping him. You know, he's had a heart attack. I got to take care of him. I got to take care of mom. She's in assisted living. I'm her power of attorney. I wasn't doing anything but running the show in my head. And when I came back in these rooms and people started asking me to sponsor them, I was like, whew, what the heck is this about? And I said, okay. I just urge you to extend your hand and have that experience. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You got time? Yeah, I'm Buster Hawkins, alcoholic. You know, I've listened to Debbie talk, and you know, there've been some people. Well, I'm just going to tell it like it was talking to me. My dear friend Brian there, he had to go through one of the ASAP or whatever it is programs, and you know, some people don't understand the higher power concept and all that kind of stuff. And he was in there, and then she found out that he was in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think she made a comment, "Don't get me started on that AA and higher power stuff." And I said, "Brian, don't," because it upset Brian, because Brian been sober over a year and doing well in the program and getting his life back like a lot of us do when we come and really do this thing. And it upset Brian. I said, "Brian, don't be upset." I said, "Look, we're in over 170 countries. The big books translated in 67 languages. The big book is issued in English language alone over a million copies yearly. We have 2 million membership, 2 million strong." I said, "But more importantly," I said, "look what it's done for you." I said, "Your experience and my experience is never, never at the mercy of somebody with just an opinion. Never. You know, I know what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. You know what it, you all know what it's done for you. So, so live and let live, you know, live and let live." And I also want to say this, that I had the privilege of my first sponsor, Tom, who I dearly love, and I thank God for him and Hilda every morning. And Tom and Hilda, I would ride in that blue Cadillac of theirs to meetings because I didn't have a driver's license, and I'd hear them AA and Al-Anon clearing the air conversations. And Hilda would always say that she gave Tom his right to his wrong opinion. But it was a good time, and I have a fond affection for Al-Anon. And Hilda used to say, and Steve knows what I'm going to say, that Hilda said, "Regardless of what's going on in your life, look for God in it. Just to look for God in it." And Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me and helped me to look for God, regardless of how difficult things may be, how traumatic. Because God sometimes comes to me in ways that are not pleasing to me, or ways that are not maybe that I would want it to be. But as long as I'm looking for God, I am going to find Him. If I don't, you know, because these graces from God come to me. But if I'm not looking for them, they're not going to be there. I can tell you that now. Thank you.
Thank you, Buster. Thank you. All right, with y'all, help me thank Buster and Debbie tonight. And at this time, we're going to pass the seventh tradition baskets. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside of contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. And this home group is having a supper and a speaker. It is Monday, November 3rd. It's a potluck meeting. The potluck will begin at 6, and the speaker will begin at 7. It's Mike B. from Penrose, North Carolina. And bring a dish if you wish. Again, that's Monday, November 3rd, and we'll be back, hopefully, in the fellowship hall. Are there any other announcements?
My name is Lisa. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lisa.
Saturday morning brunch bunch. We meet at Old Donation Episcopal Church on Saturday mornings at 9:30. We're having our 26th anniversary celebration on October 18th. It's going to start at 9. Food is from 9 to 9:30, and then we'll have two speakers. So please come and join us.
Any other announcements? Yes.
My name's John. I'm an alcoholic.
John.
Group Magnolia Brown Bag that meets at Little Roy Baptist Church on Tuesdays at noon and 8 p.m. On the 28th of October, we'll be celebrating our group's 28th anniversary, and we will have a fried chicken dinner and all the fixings, and it starts at 6:30, and then we'll have a speaker meeting at 8 o'clock, and everybody's welcome. We will have cake and ice cream. Thanks.
Any other announcements? All right. Simple actions. One over there. Yes. Hey, Ryan.
Ryan. November 6th.
and we'll have some food before the meeting at 7:00. And Derek R. from Hampton will be speaking for the meeting at Thursday.
Can I announce one more time?
Sure.
Thank you, Ryan.
Buster Hawkins, alcoholic. Want to remind you, I spoke of it just a little while ago, but my home group, Suffolk Discussion, will be holding its group's 46th anniversary, October 24th, at the Suffolk, at the Presbyterian Church, excuse me, St. Paul's Episcopal Church. At 6:30, we're going to have fried chicken, country ham, and two speakers. And Jim W. From Chesapeake is going to be the AA speaker. We're going to start at 6:30. Please come by. We'd love to have you.
Thanks, Buster.
Thank you.
All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Will home group members please raise your hand? And at this time, we'd like to welcome any newcomers. Just so we can get to know you and welcome you, is there anyone here who is new to Alcoholics Anonymous that would like to introduce yourself with your first name?
Yes.
My name is BJ. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, BJ. Welcome.
Welcome.
Anyone else? All right, welcome. And literature. We have literature at the back table, pamphlets, and anything papers for free. Any books, just see me or a home group member after the meeting, and we'll be glad to hook you up with any literature. And sponsorship questions. Sponsorship is, NAA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have any questions or would like additional information about sponsorship NAA, we've got two people, Catherine and Evan, and they'll be up here at the front table after the meeting. You can come on up and ask them any questions you might have about sponsorship. And let's see, if y'all will help me thank the panel one more time. And after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on step 10 tonight that we discussed. And you're welcome to attend the meeting after the meeting, and that's going to be at IHOP on 21st Street. We go there after the meeting each Monday night, so please join us if you've got some time in your schedule to come out there with us. And do I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
I'll get it.
Evan?
Trying to see if anyone wanted to race. But my name's Evan. I'm an alcoholic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of you as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Thanks, Evan. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer for those who wish to join.
Troublemaker.
When we get together, will you take us out with the Lord's Prayer? Thank you.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Leanne, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. I got to go find the other one now.
Greatly appreciate it.